And on that note, turn to Psalm 119. And we will continue tonight in our study of this psalm, the Word of God psalm. And the whole point of this study is to, again, look at the benefit that God's Word is to God's people. What a blessing it is that God has given it to us. And it's been a blessing to segment this out and just understand again that God's Word is our source of strength and God's Word is supernatural, amen, and it has the answer to all of life's issues, and all things are given to us that pertain to life and godliness in God's Word, and it is a blessing to have. And we're going to consider tonight, at least start considering tonight, this next section beginning in verse 89. Follow along as I read. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Tonight, we're going to start this section, and we're going to work our way down through verse 92. And the title of the lesson tonight is Settled in Heaven. And you notice that in verse 89, the psalmist says, Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The psalmist begins this section with some very emphatic and strong words. He says here, the very first word, forever. The meaning of that word is it's pretty much like you would imagine it or how you would know it, but the actual meaning of the word is time out of mind. In other words, the issue of time is not a thing. Does that make sense? It means always. It means continual. And of course, it means eternal. That's what the word forever means. And I think you have a good grasp of what that word means. Time out of mind is a really good definition because time has no bearing on eternity. The word settled is the other word that's a pretty strong word that the psalmist used. He says, Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The word means to station. It means to establish or establish. It means a pillar, not moving. That's the idea here. It's put in its station. It's not going to move. And both of those words, forever and settled, are in reference to God's word. God's word is eternal, it's always, it's continual, it's a station, it's been established, it's a pillar that's not moving. In other words, God's word is lifted up above all the changes that can be brought about by time, because time has no bearing on the word of God. It's above the circumstances of life. It's not in the same realm as the temporal and transient nature of this earth. It's not even of the same thing. So you understand, are you getting the picture here? The psalmist is talking about the Word of God being something that transcends time. It's not of the same realm. It's lifted up above all the changes that life can bring. And life brings a lot of changes, doesn't it? We're not the same as we were 10 years ago. Not the same as we were 30 years ago, or 40, or 50 if you're that old, because I'm not that old yet. We're not the same. But God's Word is above all the changes that come about in life. And life can turn on a dime, in a day, in a moment. Life can turn. But God's Word is above and beyond that, and it's still relevant in spite of that. We're going to look at some of that. So the psalmist is first of all addressing for us, and we're going to see two things tonight, the permanence of God's word and the protection of God's word. And the psalmist is first of all addressing for us the permanence of God's word. Let's read verses 89 through 91 again. And with that in mind, the permanence of God's word. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. So, what does the psalmist have to say about the permanence of God's word? Well, first of all, he tells us why God's word is permanent. He says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled or established in heaven. He tells us the reason why it's permanent in verse 89, and he says, forever, O Lord, thy word. That's the reason that God's word is permanent. That's the reason why God's word is settled, because it's the Lord's word. Amen? The word of God is permanent because it's the Lord's word. And you know, it makes a lot of sense for us then to understand why God's word is so relevant, even in our day, as relevant as it was 2,000 years ago, as relevant as it was when the Old Testament was written. It makes a lot of sense for us then to understand that God's word does not need to change with the passage of time, nor will it change, because it was God who gave it. God does not change himself. God doesn't need to change his mind on something. In his omniscient wisdom, God knows everything. He knows everything that could be possible. He knows every scenario that could play out. He knows everything that is and everything that is current. God knows it all. He is acquainted with every fact and every detail about everyone and everything in earth and in heaven and in hell. God knows it all. God might be invisible to us, but we certainly are not invisible to him. He even knows our very thoughts before we think them, the Bible says. The Bible tells us in Psalm 94 and verse 11, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man. And the Lord even knows, that verse goes on to say, how vain those thoughts are. God even knows how vain man's thoughts are, but he knows every thought of man. I think, I was trying to just imagine this, God, and wrap my head around this, and it's really hard to do, but just the idea and the fact, there's 8 billion people in this world, and God knows every thought of 8 billion people in this world before they think it. He knows every detail of everything that's going to happen, when it's going to happen. He knows all the past, all the time. And it's like people are always thinking at the same time. We're constantly thinking. We're constantly saying words all the time. Imagine the racket that must be. You ever watch a movie where, you know, Big Brother's got their video cameras and they're listening on the cell phones, and there you see the people in front of all the computer TV screens or whatever, and you know what I'm talking about? You watch movies like that and you hear all this chatter going on, and it's just like it's a bunch of noise all the time and you can't make out anything that anybody's saying. Not so with God. It's not a bunch of noise to him. He has every detail of every thought of everything of everyone, not only in the human realm, but also in the animal kingdom, in the plant kingdom, and all of the universe. God's omniscient. And he knows everything that could be and everything that is, and he's acquainted with every fact. And even though we cannot see him, he certainly can see us. That gives us some insight into why God's word doesn't need to change. God doesn't change. And in his omniscience, God has made his word very relevant. And it's why it's forever settled, because it's his. God saw Adam and Eve when they were hiding in the garden. God saw Cain murder his brother. God saw or heard Sarah laugh in the privacy of her tent. God has seen and knows everything that has ever happened in the past. He knows everything that is going to happen in the future. And he knows what's happening this very moment. He knows what you're thinking. All 8 billion people on this planet, from the greatest to the smallest, he knows every event from the greatest to the smallest. And if it were possible for something to happen that God did not know about, he would cease to be omniscient or all-knowing. Acts 15 and verse 18 tells us, "Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world." You know what that tells us? Before the world was ever formed, God already knew all that he was going to do. It's hard to wrap your mind around that, to understand that. But the reason that God's word is eternally existent and forever established is because those are his words. I think that's a great thought, because it makes the word of God so much more powerful to me to understand that God's word is so much bigger than I could ever understand, and it contains and is given to me all things that pertain to life and godliness. The difference or the problem is when I don't trust it, when I don't believe it. So the psalmist says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word." He tells us why it's permanent. But then the psalmist tells us where. In the second part of verse 89, he says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." First of all, we find out that God's word is settled in glory or heaven. You know what that means? It means that God's word is beyond the reach of man. Aren't you thankful for that? There's no person, no matter how hard they have tried or will try, there's no person, no matter how clever or confident they are, there is no person who can ever permanently change God's word. It's settled, it's established in heaven. It's beyond the reach of man. You know, man has tried over and over again. Ever since the word of God was given to us, there have been God or Bible haters since the very beginning. And man's tried to change it and destroy it and be rid of it from the time that God gave it, because man doesn't want to submit himself to God. But it's out of the reach of mankind. You probably have heard this before, but you maybe remember the French philosopher Voltaire. He was born in the late 1600s, lived through most of the 1700s. But he had many writings, volumes of writings, and much of that was against Christianity and the Bible. And 2 years before he died, in 1776, he said this. He said, "100 years from my day, there will not be a Bible on earth except one that is looked upon by an antiquarian curiosity seeker." In other words, and he also said something about Christianity, how it will fade away and will be remembered no more. But the story of Voltaire goes on to say that within 50 years after his death, the very house in which he once lived and wrote his writings was owned and used by the Geneva Bible Society to store Bibles and gospel tracts, and the printing presses that he used to print his works was used to print Bibles. Amen. There's a lot of people who try to refute that and say that story's made up by a bunch of Bible thumpers who try to come up with some argument to bolster their position. But there's all kinds of factual evidence to verify that that is actually true. A man who is a God hater, a man who is a Bible hater, who did what he could to disparage the Word of God, in his mind it would be irrelevant, it would be gone. And the very house and the very printing press that he used for his writings was used to print Bibles. God's word hasn't changed. God's word hasn't moved. It's out of the reach of men. God's word is settled in heaven. This world's going to pass away. In fact, the galaxies will pass away, but God's word is going to remain far beyond the reach of all of its foes, because it's forever settled in heaven. And Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. 1 Peter 1:25 says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Where is this word of God permanent? Well, the psalmist says it's forever settled in glory in heaven. But that's not all. In verse 90 and 91, we find that the psalmist goes on and says that the word of God is settled even here on earth, on this globe. He says, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. He states that the faithfulness of God is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. The psalmist looks back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God said, the word of God, let there be light. You know what? On the first day of creation, God established the laws of light. We have some natural laws. We have natural laws that don't change. And why don't they ever change? God established on the first day of creation the laws of light. He said, let there be light. He ordained that light. What do we know about it? Well, God ordained that light should travel at 186,000 miles per second, that it should dispel darkness, that its speed, the speed of light, should be one of the constants in our universe. So much so that scientific evidence and scientific, the way that the world is built, even the atom and all that we know about it, is based on the constant things of natural laws that God established on creation. On the fourth day of creation, God established the service of the sun, ordaining the sun to rule the day, the moon to rule the night, ensuring the regular change of seasons. And what does that do? Mankind, listen, we have a celestial clock that we can measure days and months and years by, and it's predictable, it's always on time, and years and years and years out, mankind can know exactly what time the sun is going to rise, because it's always constant. That's a law that God established on the fourth day of creation. Notice how the psalmist says, thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. It abideth. In other words, it's been that way from day one all the way to today. Hasn't changed. Sunshine and shadow. Seed time and harvest. Summer and winter. Everywhere. Even to the remotest parts of this earth, God has established His word. God said, let there be light. God said, God said, God said. And it was so. You know, there is no language where their voice is not heard. That's what the Bible says. Mankind understands. We have an innate understanding. The laws of light and electricity, the laws of heat and sound, the laws of magnetism and gravity, of chemistry and biology, of physics and mathematics, all of those, it's established by the Word of God. Now look at verse 91. He says, they continue this day according to thine ordinances. For all are thy servants. You know what? You know of the crazy, absurd, you know of the mass hysteria of climate change. Climate change is going to destroy the world. And the polar ice caps are melting, and Alaska is going to be underwater. It's all going to burn up. You know, it's true. It is all going to burn up one day, isn't it? It really is true. It's all going to burn up. But listen, everything's going to only do what God tells it to do. And it is going to burn up one day, but it won't be because of climate change. This world isn't going anywhere until God says it's time. The psalmist says they continue this day according to thine ordinances, according to the word of God. And then know what he says. For all are thy servants. What's he talking about? He's talking about the establishment of this world and the universe, the sun, the moon, the stars, the galaxies. He's talking about all of his creation. It's all the servant of God. You know the term Mother Nature? I don't like it. And I don't think God's people should use it, to be honest. Why? Well, people use the term Mother Nature when they're referring to the natural world. But that kind of an expression is used in order to avoid having to acknowledge that God is the author and sustainer of life and the universe. There's no such thing as Mother Nature. God is the author and sustainer of life. And behind the vast fabric of nature is the laws of God. Amen. It's established by his word. The psalmist observes that the laws established by God in creation, they still stood to his day, and they still stand today. You know, very practical. We build our life around that kind of stuff. If you put a kettle on the stove to heat water, you don't expect to get a block of ice. It's a law that doesn't ever change. We build our life on that sort of thing. If you drop a lead weight from a rooftop, you don't expect it to fly off into the sky. You can't change the natural law of gravity. It doesn't matter what you're talking about, whether you're talking about kettles or weights or any other thing, whether you're talking about the sun, the moon, the stars, the psalmist says all of it is God's servant. Let me give you a Bible example. When Jonah was running from the Lord, God simply summoned his servants to come and deal with his disobedient servant, the wind and the whale. God summoned his servants to deal with the disobedient servant. When Pharaoh was trying to dig his heels in and defy the living God, when God said, "Let my people go," and Pharaoh said, "Who's God? God isn't anything." God directed Moses to summon frogs and flies and locusts and lice and blood and boils, and it laid Egypt to dust, the most powerful empire in the world. They're all servants of God. Do you remember in the New Testament when Jesus told his disciples to go across the Sea of Galilee? And Jesus was in the boat, but he was asleep. And all of a sudden the waves started to come. And the ship was being tossed so much that the water starting to come into the boat. And the disciples are starting to freak out and they're starting to panic. And they go to the Lord and they say, "Lord, don't you care that we perish?" And Jesus stands up and he looks out over the water and he says, "Peace, be still." Dead calm. Not even a ripple. Across the roaring, moving waves. Dead calm. And what did the disciples say? "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and waves obey his voice?" Of course they obeyed. They're his servants. They've been obeying him ever since they were made. Mankind is the only creation that does not bow in obedience to God. Of course they were obeying Him. Listen, God's word is settled in heaven and in earth. The physical laws that God established do not change. They can be trusted. It's how we set our clock. It can be trusted. It's that certain. And we understand it's that certain that the sun is going to rise and the sun's going to go down. It doesn't technically do that, but it's a phrase that we use to, you understand what I'm saying? Every single day, the sun is going to rise. Every single day, the sun's going to go down. It's that certain. And listen, if God established it and it's His word and it's continued from day one to now and it's never changed, if it's that settled, if God's word is that settled, listen, it should settle my soul when God speaks out of this book right here to me. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Here's the problem. God's word is so settled. It's settled in heaven. It's established. It's right. It's never wrong. But sometimes, and most of the time, we have a hard time believing what He says right here in this book. I'll get that in a second. You following me here? Oh, I've got this problem, Pastor. And we sit down and we look at the Bible and we say, okay, God gives us a principle right here. This is what you need to do. Well, I'm not sure if that really is going to work or not. I mean, there's this book that I've been reading over here, and what they say in this book is that we should do this when it comes to raising our children and so on. We have to really be careful about their little egos and self-esteem and all the other things. I'm just not really sure that that really works. Well, I tried that, Pastor, and it didn't work. I guess God's word isn't settled then, because we clearly know better. God says, you do this, and this is what's going to happen. How many times did God say that to the nation of Israel? And how many times did it come true? But if you do this, then this is going to happen. Well, I'm just not really sure about that. You understand what I'm saying? The psalmist understood that, listen, the world's reframed by God. His word is settled in heaven. God has never changed. Everything continues as God said it would. God has established it, and it's settled, and His word should settle my soul in the same way. I can trust it. It's permanence, and it's reliable. And its permanence and reliability gives us something solid on which to rest our faith. Here's the problem. So many people are looking for feelings rather than promises. I just don't feel. I don't feel good about it. We're looking for feelings rather than promises. There's so many people who battle and who struggle with issues of life, and they can never find the answers. And the reason they can't find the answer is because they don't really believe this book. Stop looking for feelings and start looking for verses. That's a great philosophy for life. I don't know what to do. I don't have an answer to this. I'm waiting to feel something. Just want to feel that. Well, God does give us a sense of peace at times, but you know, life isn't all about just getting a sense of peace. I can conjure up some peace in my soul about something I really want to do and say that God did it. Stop looking for feelings and start looking for verses. By faith, ask God to work through His powerful word in your life and speak directly to your problem through God's word. Well, we just don't believe that. But you know what 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says? For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, and here it is, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You know that word effectually in 1 Thessalonians 2:13? The word, it's where we get, it comes from the Greek, it's like energeo or something like that. We get our English word energy from, but it really is talking about something powerful, and it's a word that is primarily used of God and God's supernatural power. It's a word that is used of God, not any other thing, and God's supernatural power. And you know what? Again, people say, well, you know, here's a principle right here. And I tried that, Pastor, but it just didn't work. Well, if it didn't work, it's because you really didn't believe. That's the qualification. It effectually, powerfully, supernaturally works in you that believe. So the psalmist, he's singing of the permanence of God's word. It's a source of comfort for him to know that he's investing his faith in something that can never fail. It's established forever. It's settled. It's above the reach of man. Man can do nothing. Time can do nothing. But God has established it. And it's trustworthy, and it doesn't change. Amen. The psalmist says God's faithfulness is to all generations. As changeless as his word, God's faithfulness to man is to all generations, from the very first one to the very last. Well, that leads us to the psalmist's next thought, and really what the whole point of this portion is. And that's in verse 92, and we find the protection of God's word. He says here, unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. That really right there is the point of all that the psalmist has just said. The practical application for him in his situation in life. And we note that the psalmist hasn't had great experiences. There have been enemies who've hated him, those who laid wait for him, circumstances that have beat him down. And you've already heard of how the psalmist has expressed even some dark places and dark thoughts and feelings that he's had in his life. And here he says, but I know God's word is settled. And he says, unless the word of God had been my delight or my pleasure or that which I've taken pleasure in, I would have perished in mine afflictions. It's the practical application to his situation. In other words, the word of God is what helped the psalmist keep his sanity. And it gave him something to hang on to when it seemed like his world was falling apart. It was a rock. It was an anchor. He was able to keep his feet on solid ground when he's surrounded by the quicksand of life circumstances. And you know what the psalmist didn't do? He didn't turn to another source or another substance. What he went to was the Word of God. He believed in the Word of God. But how many people are turning to other sources and substances to deal with their life problems? It was God's word that protected him from despair. He said, unless thy law had been my delights, the thing that he took pleasure in, if it wasn't for God's word, he would have perished. And I think you understand all that the psalmist has said. He's laying this groundwork of how God has established his word and how God's word is trustworthy. Even in creation, you see that God God established it all, and it's full of order, and it's full of laws, and it hasn't changed, and everything exists because of the ordinance of God. And if all of that is true, then what God says right here is also trustworthy. Amen. So what are you looking to? What are you going to? I'm just going to stay within my feelings. I'm just going to stay within my own understanding. I'm going to figure this out. I'm just going to grin and bear it. I'm going to do whatever I've got to do. What are you going to? Other sources? Well, God's word didn't work. Substances? I just want to numb it and deal with it. Rather than deal with it, I would say. Well, it was God's word that actually gave him protection. And he's simply saying that God, he could trust it. He could trust it because it's established, it's settled. Amen. Well, next time, we're going to look at the rest of these verses. In verses 93 and 94, we're going to see the power of God's word. The psalmist says, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine, save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The psalmist saw God's word operating in various ways in his life. He says the word of God quickened him, means gave him life, made him alive. Then the word of God conquered his foes in verse 94. I am thine, save me. God's word was powerful, and then we'll consider the perfection of God's word in verse 96. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. We're going to see the perfection of God's word. That might mean something a little bit different than what you're thinking on the surface right now. Here's an assignment for you. Go search it out this week. See what that means. And make an application out of it. And we'll talk about it when you come back next week. All right? That might mean something just a little bit different than what you think it means on the surface. It's a great truth concerning God's word. I love the Psalms. I love how the psalmist encourages himself in the Word of God. I love how the psalmist is always going back to the Word of God for strength. And it's really an example of what we ought to do as well. And how much do we suffer needlessly in life because we just don't go back to the rock and the anchor? Yeah. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd use your word to challenge us again, how trustworthy it is. We can lean on our own understanding or the philosophies of this world way too much. When God gives us truth, and maybe there's principles or precepts that are hard, and you say, well, I want to try, and we give it a half-hearted effort. And it's like, well, that didn't really work. The problem is not with the principle or the precept. The problem is not with God's word. The problem is with us. Because the word of God is supernatural and it effectually works in those who believe. I'm thankful for the psalmist's example. He lived a life that wasn't easy. In many cases, maybe far worse than what we go through. And yet he understood that God's word was there for his benefit, for his help, for his strength, that it is dependable, that it is trustworthy, that it's always right. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to put aside our own thoughts and even put aside influences that we've had in our life, maybe from worldly things or other sources, and put God's word to the test. In those trials, in those dark times, emotional things, physical things, whatever it might be, answers, decisions that we need to make, put it to the test. Look for answers in your word. Lord, would you speak to me about to this very situation? You know what my need is. Lord, I'm searching for an answer. I want to do your will. Speak to me through your word. And open it up. Read, trust, pray. Find strength and answers in which way we ought to go. Sadly, most Christians will just flounder, or they'll fret and fear and just stay in a place of worry, anxiousness, stress. I'm prone to that as well. Lord, help us to trust your word and see the benefit that we have in what you've given to us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.